Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Topically Yours. I'm Deirdre Schuler, your host, and this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And my guest today is drummer Al Jackson, who will be appearing at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola starting today, actually, August 5th until Thursday, August 8th. And he'll be performing two sets, one at 7:30 p.m. and the other at 9:30 p.m. So I guess we'll be jumping right into it after this show. He's a graduate of Cass Tech High School, and Mr. Jackson is a recipient of the prestigious Artsery Emerging Artist Award, which he won in 1998, and he also earned his undergraduate degree in music composition at the New School University of Contemporary Music, where he studied under the greats, Mac Roach and Alvin Jones, and well, I guess he was in good company. And Mr. Jackson has performed with the likes of Dee Dee Bridgewater, Aretha Franklin, George Benson, Harry Connick, Joshua Redman, Diana Krall, the New York City Ballet, well, and the beat goes on. His production skills can be heard on George Benson's GRP release, Irreplaceable, excuse me, and he is also featured on the Wynton Marsalis Quartet recording The Magic Hour. And from the plantation to the penitentiary, Jackson collaborated with jazz great Cyrus Chestnut, Reginald Veal, and James Carter on Gold Sounds. And you know what? Ali started so early that his parents recognized his potential on drums when he was 2 years old. And at the age of 5, he began studying the piano, which I guess laid the foundation for his melodic approach to drums. Ali leads his own band, the Ali Jackson Quartet. But anyway, we have Ali here, so let's welcome him to the show. And I should also mention he's been a member of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra since 2005. Greetings, Ali.
Greetings. Thank you. Pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. So why don't you tell the audience something about yourself, where you're born and raised?
I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I was born in New York City. My family moved back to Detroit when I was about 2 years old. But I claim Detroit is home. Such a rich jazz tradition there, a music tradition in general. So I was very fortunate to be in the midst of some really special people and musicians.
Well, was your dad a musician?
And my father, Ali Jackson Sr., was a bassist and educator, you know, composer, arranger. So I grew up in an environment where, you know, he lived the music. So jazz musicians of that generation, I guess he went to New York in the 50s from Detroit, coming up in Detroit. So he came to New York City by way of Yusuf Lateef and people like Donald Byrd, played in those bands, coming to New York. My uncle Oliver Jackson, the late Oliver Jackson, also went to New York around the same time and blazed a trail. He worked with Errol Garner for many years in his trio, and some of the likes of everyone in the scene in the 50s and 60s. So I come from that lineage, and I embrace it.
You get to meet a lot of celebrities as a little boy.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't know who they were, but, you know, it was a very familial environment. You know, I remember meeting Philly Joe Jones when I was a kid. I remember meeting Max Roach as a kid, Elvin Jones, and my father were very close. So I was in that environment at a young age and going to clubs. I remember Leon Thomas, a great singer, yodeler, would come to town and hang out with my pop. So I would just be in that environment and have an opportunity to talk to, you know, and hang out with those kind of people. You know, it was very colorful.
I bet. Now, I was saying earlier that you learned the drum at 2, but you were also playing the piano at 5.
I didn't learn the drums. I still don't know the drums. I'm still trying to learn the drums. But I was exposed to them. And had a natural gravitation to that instrument. My father and my mother, I can't leave her out. She's a pianist, classically trained pianist. So I can remember her giving me piano lessons, you know, at the age of, you know, 4 or 5.
So there was no way that you weren't going to be destined to be a musician, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I just enjoy playing music. I can remember probably about the age of 8, I knew I wanted to play music. So I've just been focused on that, and I've never worked another job. God's blessed me to be able to do that, that's pretty rare. When I say it, it doesn't even sound real. It's like, man, I can only be a musician.
Wasn't that interesting, though, because most people don't live their joy. It seems like you live your joy.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love spreading joy. That's the ultimate, to be able to give joy to others.
Well,
You can't hoard all of the joy. You got to spread the joy.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you there. Now, do you just know 2 instruments, the piano and the drum, or are you?
I play various percussion instruments, mallet percussion and I mean, I studied classical percussion in school. But I mean, I primarily play drum set, and I play some piano. And I mean, my piano playing is not like on a world class level. I know great pianists, so for me, I play enough to get around the instrument and to be able to compose and arrange. You know.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. If you did create your own music, I played Got.
Yes.
I got Got. Was that yours? Was that your composition?
Yeah, that was an original composition.
Now, why'd you name it I Got Got?
Well, that record, The Wheels Keep Rolling, I wrote that music right on the cusp of our country's financial real estate mortgage crisis.
Mm.
So all of the titles of the tune were inspired by blueses, for one, and also about the optimism of coming out of an adverse situation, because that's what the blues is ultimately about, is how we respond to tribulation. So
yeah.
I Got Blues is about when you get got, someone can get you. I Got, you know, slang.
Oh, okay, I get you now. I guess I got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to identify the station as the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and my guest again today is Allie Jackson, who is a drummer and pianist, mostly drummer, I gather, who was associated with the Wynton Marsalis Quartet, is it?
Mm-hmm. Quintet. And we're also members of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra here in New York City. And we just finished about 15-city tour in Europe.
Wow.
And
how was that?
It was great. Well-received in many places. But we had a great time sharing the music with all of the fans and listeners and supporters of jazz.
Was that 15 cities in one country?
No, a variety of countries. I'd probably do better. Just we were in Spain and Germany, France, Czech Republic, the UK. Where else were we?
So far it sounds like a European tour.
Italy, I think. Yeah, we had a concert in Italy. So yeah, we got around a little bit.
And how do you like playing in Europe? Are you well received? I guess you just said that you were.
Yeah, I mean we're received well everywhere we play. For those people who love jazz music and the feeling of jazz, I mean ultimately what we try to do is spread the joy of jazz music and the feeling of togetherness and oneness. So ultimately that's what our music is about, is to do your thing without taking the joy away from someone else doing their thing, letting, you know, giving way for someone to do their thing and doing our thing, you know?
Well, I'll ask you this question and then I'll move on to something more joyous or another joy that I think is probably joyous, and that's the young audience. But I want to ask you first about what country did you fancy, any particular country that you fancied above another, personally?
I mean, they're all different. At a certain point, each place has its own unique thing and traditions. So, you know, in Spain, they have a really strong tradition of, you know, flamenco music,
mm-hmm.
Burrarias. And,
did
you
play
rhythm.
That? Did you play some of that?
We a couple of years ago we did a collaboration. Wynton Marsalis wrote a piece that featured the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra called the Victoria Suite. That had a lot of, you know, flamenco influences, like traditional rhythms. So we did that project maybe 3 years ago now. So that was interesting. But, you know, every place has its own cultural blueprint and mark, or truth, and that's what makes the world so great and interesting.
Yes.
Recently, like just last week, well, I can just say a couple of days ago, this past Saturday, we played a concert with a group of Pakistani musicians And the
now they have a whole different sound, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess most people would associate it with more like Indian, the Indian sound, because that is the more predominant name for that region, but it's all very similar. So, you know, the group is called the Satchel Ensemble.
Mm.
And it was a collaboration with them and our group, Winton Marsalis's Quintet, which I'm a member of. So we played music that was complementary to each other, like common ground. So the instrumentation is very different. They play with a sitar, a flute, you know, and tabla, and, you know, sometimes a voice. And so that sound mixing with, you know, trumpet, tenor saxophone, piano, bass, and drums. So it was very interesting.
That must have been very unique.
Yeah, it was.
Well, let me ask you about the program. I guess it's a program called Young Audiences. What's that about?
Young Audiences is an organization that presents artists and different forms of music, dance, you know, all of the performing arts to underprivileged children or youth throughout America. I was a part of that program here in New York City, done numerous educational events, spreading the awareness of jazz and the different eras of jazz music.
And is that to encourage young audiences to come out to listen to jazz?
To encourage them to listen to jazz, for them to be aware of jazz music, and to identify that it's a part of American culture.
Yes. Oh, tell me, what was your very first serious gig? I mean, you went to school and you studied with Mack Roach, which was wonderful. But when you stepped out into the world to become a musician, was it already planned for you due to your connections, or what was your first job that you had that was to you your serious gig?
I moved to New York City almost 20 years ago, and my first tour opportunity was with a man named Bill Saxton.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the kings of Harlem, New York. And my cousin was playing in this band, Carlos McKinney, at the time, and I got, you know, I got a audition to play in his band, and I got it, and that was like my introduction to the road and touring. I mean, I had been on some tours. I did a couple of tours with Aretha Franklin, but this was like, you know, a real, like a jazz gig, you know, like playing clubs. So it was a great eye-opener for me. To have that opportunity.
Well, when you go on tour, it's not just that you're going to fabulous places. Are some of these like honky tonks?
Well, it could be anywhere. Anyone who would have the music, that's where we play.
Oh, okay.
So it could be from a, you know, an opera house to almost an outhouse.
I interviewed Ruth Brown one time, and she said they were out in the cornfield. They just had built like a stage, and they were out there in the middle of the cornfield. So you never know.
Hey, wherever they have the music, that's where we'll go.
Mm-hmm. And I guess during her time that you couldn't even stop and go and get anything to eat. You had to drive around till you found somebody that was willing to let you eat and go to the bathroom. As she told me, sometimes they had to wash up in a lake or something, if they were lucky, near the stage. Good thing times have changed since then, though. But I understand that you have scores of medals and honors. Tell me about some of them.
I don't have that many medals or honors. I'm just appreciative to be able to play jazz music, to spread the music to those who are interested in the music, because it's very special to all of us, and to be a part of the tradition of the music. That's what I'm truly honored about. That's the greatest honor, to be able to carry on the tradition of a Max Roach, Elvin Jones, Art Blakey, Gene Cooper, Buddy Rich, all of my idols and all of the greats of my instrument. I'm honored to be able to play the instrument and honor them every time I play the drum set. So that's the honor.
Indeed. I think that's true. Whenever you're doing your craft, it's always an honor and a joy. But you've also, as I mentioned earlier, I think played with symphonic orchestras. You don't play jazz exclusively, or do you?
Recently, we've collaborated. Jazz at Lincoln Center has collaborated with some of the great orchestras in the world on some compositions. Wynton Marsalis has written two compositions that features jazz orchestra and symphonic orchestra, and we've collaborated with the Berlin Philharmonic, the New York Philharmonic, the London Symphony Orchestra, and a host of other orchestras throughout the world, playing this piece, which is kind of symbolic of the two worlds, the European classical world and the jazz world, a meeting, like somewhere in the middle.
Well, both of them are intellectual forms of music, wouldn't you say?
You said intellectual forms of music?
Intellectual forms of music. Because
I mean, they can be.
They look at classical music to represent intellectual music, but jazz also requires a certain type of intellectual music because you're doing it. Sometimes you're just doing it off the cuff, correct? Improvising.
Yeah, but the great thing about jazz music, it doesn't have to be intellectual. It can just feel good. You don't have to have any kind of cerebral investment. You can just sit back and relax and absorb the music into your soul. And actually, the best of jazz is that it doesn't have to be so cerebral or intellectual. It can just be
emotional,
soulful.
Yes.
Yeah, you can just, I mean, the same with all good music. You don't have to have a serious intellectual investment in it. It can be, but,
indeed.
Like someone as great as Charlie Parker, he's a great example of someone that you can look at it on an extreme cerebral level, but at the same time, it's the most basic level, most human level,
Well, that's an excellent way of putting it, I would say. Now, you play in the Wynton Marsalis Quartet. How did you get to meet Wynton, or how did that come about, that you got involved in the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra and playing with the Wynton Marsalis Quartet, or Quintet?
I met Wynton Marsalis when I was 12 years old in Detroit. He was doing a master class.
Okay.
I stayed in contact with him every time he'd come through Detroit. And then by the time I was, 17, 18, I went on my first tour. He called me for a gig. And then that's how our relationship, and it's evolved since then. I mean, we've been working together now for over half of my life.
Wow. So
it's just interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to get to know someone who's so vested in the music. And has such a great spirit and a great heart. So I'm fortunate for that relationship and very fortunate to have connected with him.
Well, you also are invested in your own quartet, the Allie Jackson Quartet. Tell me about that and the members of your quartet and what they play.
Well, this week we have this is a new quintet. I have two veterans, two great musicians on our front line. Mr. Sherman Irby is playing alto saxophone. He's also the lead alto saxophonist with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. Great all-around musician. Composer, arranger, soloist, reader, soulful, everything. He's a complete package. So I'm very fortunate to have him. And his counterpart on the front line playing trombone is the great Vincent Gardner, who also is a member of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. and he will be sliding up and down that trombone.
All right.
And on piano, we have a young man by the name of Emmett Cohen, who's from Montclair, New Jersey, who's playing the piano, and a young bassist from Florida. His name is Russell Hall, playing the bass. And we're just going to play some music from different projects. There's a ballet that I was fortunate to collaborate with a great choreographer and dancer. She's a principal dancer with the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater.
Wow.
Her name is Hope Boykin, so I wrote some music for her with this quintet configuration with trombone and alto saxophone and rhythm section. So we're going to play a couple of movements from that piece.
Nice.
Which is not recorded, so you can't get it. So there's going to be a live stream, I think, on Thursday on XM or Sirius Radio. So you can listen for it. That's some of that music will be on there. And you can go to jalc.org if you're trying to find information about it or tune in to that live webcast. So that's pretty much with the quintet.
Well, tell me about Jamming with Jackson.
Oh, that was just a series that I did with, you know, to get younger people, you know, some of the college students and high school students enthusiastic about playing jazz music. So I would host it's like a jam session, like once a week here at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. That's pretty much
that's it. Well, what is the Horns in the Hood? Is that associated with Winton or no?
No, Horns in the Hood is a collective ensemble that I helped to co-found that features initially an initial band was with Robbie Coltrane, Tim Armacost, and Craig Handy. They play all woodwind instruments. And Bob Hurst plays bass and drums with no piano or guitar, a corded instrument. So all of the arrangements were to just feature like woodwinds and bass and drums.
Sounds interesting. And I have another question, and I guess we're getting down to the time. They always say a duck is a duck is a duck, but you're the voice of Duck Ellington. Tell me about that.
Huh. So book series for I guess preschoolers.
Okay.
To introduce them to jazz music. Ultimately, it was, you know, for like numbers, colors, beginning English speakers. And so there was an accompanying CD that Aaron Goldberg and John Ellis, two good friends of mine and really great musicians, they asked me to be a part of it. And so there was a segment in the series where they needed someone to rap. And so I became Duck Ellington. So that's me in the recording singing a song about jazz.
Well, I want to mention again that you're going to be appearing tonight at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. That's on the fifth floor of Jazz at Lincoln Center, located on 60th Street and Broadway.
That's
so cool. They have a wonderful cuisine there and a panoramic view. For those who have never been there, should check it out. And you'll be doing a 7:30 and a 9:30 show, correct?
That's correct.
Well, I hope people will go down and keep you company down there for the 4 days and you fill the place up. And, unless you have any other, if I have any other questions that you have not, that you want to say or something you want to say before we close, feel free.
Nope, just support live music. Support jazz music. And if you haven't been to any performances or events at Jazz and Lincoln Center, it's a great place to get acquainted with jazz music and to really actually have a really good time.
Well, thank you for appearing on my show on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And for those, if you tuned in now, it's too late, but we've been talking to drummer Allie Jackson, who will, as I said, will be appearing tonight at Jazz at Lincoln Center, Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, for 4 days starting today through Thursday. And I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And we're going to end with one more song by Allie Jackson, and that is Lover. Thank you, Mr. Jackson, for coming on the show.
All right, thank you. My pleasure. Have a good one.
You too.